morning and welcome back to Biz Talk. I'm Tony Bush, your host this morning. Jim Rossetti is out on road assignment. And you're listening to the Biz Talk program on the voice of the Fox Cities 1150 WHBY radio this morning. We have a great show for you this morning. Melissa Devantier is here, and she's an attorney with Epiphany Law. We're going to have a great conversation this morning about such things as succession planning and anything else that you might want to call in about regarding legal issues and your business. Before we begin, I would just like to acknowledge and say thank you to the sponsors who bring the program to you each week. It's Associated Bank. They're a full-service commercial and consumer bank organization. We highly recommend that you check with Associated Bank for your banking needs. Epiphany Law, located on the north side of Appleton. They're an excellent law firm. They do just business law. They don't get distracted with other laws like divorce or personal injury, but they do a very good job of business law. They've done work for me, and I'd highly recommend you contact them, and we're going to hear more about that firm this morning from Melissa. Alberts & Haling Accounting Services, a CPA firm here in Appleton and in Green Bay. Kurt Haling is the local partner. They do great accounting work for small business and individuals. And this is tax time, so if you're looking for someone to help you with your tax return, whether you're an individual or a business, contact Alberts & Haling CPAs. We also have as a sponsor the Venture Center out at Fox Valley Technical College. Amy Peach is the executive director, and they have a great program called the eSeed program where entrepreneurs learn how to put together a business plan and learn many of the principles they need to understand as they embark on and grow their businesses. So contact the Venture Center out at Fox Valley Technical College if you're interested in learning how to write a business plan. And finally, the Better Business Bureau is a sponsor of BizTalk. Joellen Walling, the director, has been on our program. It's a fascinating organization, and I would highly recommend you look into the Better Business Bureau if you are a business owner. And if you're a consumer, it's always a good way to find out who does good business. I'd also like to thank the Business News for being a contributor and promoting our program in their periodical. The Business News is a biweekly newspaper. It covers a lot of news events in Northeast Wisconsin. And for only $18 a year, you're going to subscribe to a very powerful, informative newspaper covering business events. So check out the Business News. The program is produced each week by the SCORE chapter here in Appleton. We're located down at the Chamber in Appleton, Fox City's Chamber. We have about 60 counselors. Our SCORE chapter includes Appleton, Oshkosh, and Fond du Lac areas. And if you're looking for assistance on how to start a business or iron out a wrinkle that's in your business, grow your business, you have a question about something, come and visit us at scorefoxcities.com, scorefoxcities.com. Learn about the SCORE chapter, and on the website, if you'd like to request a counseling session, fill out the sheet, hit the submit button, and a SCORE counselor will be contacting you within a week to 10 days. There's a little bit of a time lag because we are all volunteer and we don't have a full-time staff. But if you have a question, SCORE is a great option for getting free consulting services. Now we're going to take a little break right now. We're going to come back on the other side. I'll hand out the phone numbers, or I'll mention the phone numbers. I won't hand them out. There's no one to hand them out to. But we'll mention the phone numbers and invite your questions. We have a great show this morning with Melissa Devantier of Epiphany Law. You're listening to Biz Talk on the Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY Radio.
Are you an entrepreneur starting up a business? Maybe you've been in business for several years and your company is growing. Either way, you need a trusted legal advisor. Epiphany Law can help. Epiphany Law is a business law boutique that provides expertise to startup and growing businesses. Period. They don't do divorces. They don't chase accident claims. And they don't dabble in criminal law. They pride themselves on providing solutions to businesses of varying shapes and sizes, and they have the expertise to be your all-around business legal advisor. In short, they do business law, and they do it very well. It's been said that an epiphany is a flash of light that points to a better way. At Epiphany Law, they provide that better way. If you're a business owner who's ready for a fresh, business-focused approach to legal advice, call the business law experts of Epiphany Law today at 920-996-0000 or look them up online at epiphanylaw.com.
As the number one SBA lender in Wisconsin, Associated Bank has been helping small businesses grow for over 120 years. By getting to know you, your business, and the goals you hope to achieve, Associated is able to offer a wide range of financial solutions to help you run your business more efficiently and save you time and money. If you're interested in learning more about the financial solutions Associated offers to business owners, visit an Associated branch or AssociatedBank.com. Loan subject to credit approval, equal opportunity lender, member FDIC, and Associated Bank Corp.
LLC or S Corp.
How do I get my business running?
Not sure how to get your business venture off the ground? Let Albertson Healing help you properly set up your business right from the start. We're big enough to handle all of your business startup needs, yet small enough to give you the attention you deserve. Call Albertson Healing CPAs today at 888-929-9492 for your tax, investment, and consulting needs. Securities offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. and Albertson Healing CPAs are non-affiliated entities.
Tomorrow's innovation starts today in the Fab Lab. The Fab Lab at Fox Valley Technical College is an innovation center where any product you can think of becomes reality. Perfect for independent inventors or business product development, the Fab Lab helps you create a product prototype. Our product design and fabrication experts teach inventors, entrepreneurs, or students how to use desktop digital technology to create product prototypes. Here's how the Fab Lab has helped.
Any industry like ours dreams about having cutting-edge equipment, but we don't have the time to learn how to operate it or the money to purchase it. The Fab Lab solves that.
How can you get your product or idea into the Fab Lab? Attend our free Explore the Fab Lab sessions or meet with our team members who will help you design a customized plan to create your product or test your idea. Find out more about how the Fab Lab can innovate your business. Visit us online at www.fvtc.edu/fablab or call 920-993-5177.
Welcome back to BizTalk. We have a great show for you this morning. Again, my name is Tony Bush, and our guest this morning is Melissa Devantier. Melissa is an attorney with Epiphany Law, and we're going to hear a little bit about Epiphany Law and what Melissa's role is at the firm in a moment. But first, I'd like to give out the phone numbers if you have a question and you'd like to call in. If you're in the Appleton area, you can reach us at 281-1150, 281-1150. And if you're outside the Appleton area, you can call us at 1-866-887-1150. Good morning, Melissa.
Good morning.
Welcome to BizTalk this morning.
Thank you.
Glad to have you here, and we sure appreciate the sponsorship of Epiphany Law for the BizTalk program. Tell us about Epiphany Law and what your role is.
Sure. Well, like you said, Epiphany Law has a focus on businesses. So we do everything for businesses from initial startups, deciding whether or what type of legal structure is going to be appropriate, an LLC, S corporation, some of those options, to more complex issues down the road, like franchising and complex mergers and acquisitions, and just about anything you can imagine for business owners we handle in our office, from litigation to securities laws. And one of the components that we handle is the estate and succession planning component for businesses. So I'd like to explain a little bit about what that means, and that's really my function within the firm is as doing the estate and succession plans. And that means different things for different business owners, but ultimately, and the point that I know you and I talked a little bit about is just the point that a succession plan and estate plan are necessary for business owners, mm-hmm. whether they know it or not.
Exactly right.
And so one of the things I talk about, even when I'm helping a new business owner set up for the first time, is what do you ultimately want to do with this thing? Is this going to be something that you hand down to your kids someday? Is it going to be something that you want to turn around and sell for profit someday? Are you going to look for some retirement income from it? Mm-hmm. What is the ultimate goal? And then if you know your goals, even if they change, you can start planning to make those goals actually come to fruition. So that's a conversation that I like to have with business owners as soon as possible.
It's important because when people start a business, they're starting it for one of two reasons, and they don't realize it. They're either going to keep it or they're going to sell it.
Right.
And selling it might be selling it to someone outside the family, or a larger firm comes in and acquires the smaller firm, or they sell it to the children. So
or transition it to the children.
Transition.
Right.
And they leave the active ownership of the company and enjoy retirement.
Right. So exactly, and you hit on an interesting point there, because you can either transition it to your children or to your key employees or whoever you want to ultimately take the business over. You can do that during your lifetime, or you can do it at your death. And so there's a couple, as an estate planning attorney, I kind of deal with it from both aspects. I've got situations where someone didn't put an estate plan together at all, and all of a sudden their business assets are lumped in with the rest of their assets and just divvied out according to whatever the probate court decides is the way to do it. And so I always recommend that a business owner, everybody, but particularly business owners, have some sort of an estate plan in place that says, where do you want this business to go, and who do you want to take it over, and how do you want it run, and how much control do you want to have over it during your lifetime. And so we deal with all of those issues, and again, it's different for everybody because everyone has got a little bit of a different idea of where they want it to go and when they want it to transition. And
well, Melissa, if someone's starting a business, or say they have a business and they're 10 years into it, mm-hmm. and the couple is 40 years old, mm-hmm. and they're beginning to think, okay, 40 years old, it's the old age of youth and the youth of old age,
right.
time, you know, that sort of thing. So we're going to start thinking about retirement, and we have three children. Two have expressed an interest in it, but they're going to college, so
right.
we don't know yet.
Right.
That's a good time to sit down and seriously have a conversation about some plans.
Right.
Option one, option two, option three.
Right.
And do you walk the client through that with a questionnaire? Do you have some sort of an interview process that you
sure.
try to pull that out of the client?
It's really the interview process more than anything else. The best questionnaires I've come up with have never been able to touch on
right.
that family dynamic. And that's
right.
really what I like to, if ultimately the goal is to the kids, tell me a little bit about the kids. And that's just the conversation I can't have on paper. And so that's one where I just like to sit down with mom and dad. And if kids want to join and have some input too, that's fine. But just to kind of understand who's really running this thing, how is it really working, and what ultimately do you want to have happen, and when? Because there's nothing more difficult for some folks than actually giving up the reins of something that they started with their blood, sweat, and tears once upon a time. And so while it sounds easy in theory, sometimes the actual implementation of these things is complex.
Hmm? The reality of that is very significant. Mom and dad raised the children.
Mm-hmm.
They started the business. They managed the business, grew the business. They know what they're doing.
Right.
I don't know if I know what the kid knows what he's doing. So am I going to give up control to the kid?
Right, and we better start thinking about that now and not when you're ready to retire and be done with it. So.
And yep. if it's a risk, use these years to groom the child to make the right decisions.
That's exactly right.
You know. And another thing about succession planning for families, parents passing the business on down to the children, for example, isn't it smart for the children maybe to go to school, college, get an education, and possibly go work at another company for 5 years
mm-hmm.
outside the family business,
mm-hmm.
and then come back, and they get, they're enriched by that experience. Have you seen a difference in that?
Absolutely, and I agree with you. And the more data points I have to support that, the more that point is confirmed, because ultimately, when they are able to go and see how other businesses operate, they can bring so much back into mm-hmm. their own personal family business situation, and the whole business is really enriched by the experience, not just the one individual. So
right.
it's always recommended, sure.
Another dimension, too, is the emotional side of it.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. There may be three children, only two are interested in the
mm-hmm.
business. How do we be fair to the third one?
That's right. And it depends. I mean, what does the estate look like? And that's one of the points I wanted to make today, was really this idea of quote-unquote succession planning, which is really just transitioning the business from one generation to another, or to key employees, or however it's going to transition. But that ties in so deeply with your estate plan. And that's one of the places that we see that conversation come up is, yeah, I've got, you know, three children. Two of them are interested. One of them is not. The other one lives, you know, in a world away from here and is totally unrelated to the business. What does the estate look like? Is there a way to divide up the estate equitably so you don't feel like you're leaving 90% of your assets to these two children and then whatever is left to your third child? And so we kind of look at that as a big picture and say, is this okay the way that it is, or do you want to do something else or liquefy something else or take out a life insurance policy or whatever it might be to try to liquefy the estate a little bit and make sure that it's equitable at the end. Yep.
Melissa, let's give out the phone number again in case anyone would like to ask a question about estate planning or really any business principle we can try to address that this morning.
Sure.
Any questions on legal issues? 281-1150 in Appleton. And if you're outside Appleton, 1-866-887-1150. Business succession is something that needs to be thought about early on or at some point with enough time to accomplish it. But it isn't. It doesn't stop there. You don't sit down and have an interview with Melissa and say, here's what we're thinking.
Right.
There's a plan. There's a measurement system, isn't there?
It's a process. That's right. It's not a single transaction. And that's probably where we see most mistakes happen, is people look at it as, I don't want to transition this business until I'm ready to retire, so I'll think about it then. And they look at it as more of a transaction and not a process. And it really is a process. That's a good point, because it's something that you should start as soon as possible, and then look at it on an annual basis. It doesn't mean spending a lot of extra dollars along the way, but as you're talking to your advisors, bring it up, think about it, have it in your mind, in the back of your mind, as you're thinking about everything else relating to your business, so you can do it right.
It's almost like a culture, because the children have to be willing to agree on their end, and mom and dad have to be able to agree on their end.
Right.
And there needs to be a building trust.
That's right.
So, but if the old man's always second-guessing me and my decisions are never good enough, we might extinguish the passion on it. Children's end to assume the business.
Yeah, the failure rate of succession from one generation to the next is just astronomical, which is why it's due to poor planning, and that's why we like to talk about this as much as we can, because there's a really difficult transition that happens there. The kids are never going to run it exactly the same way as mom and dad ran it, and the kids may or may not think they know how to run it better than mom and dad ran it, but there's that family dynamic there, if that's what we're talking about. And the same is true when you're handing it down to key employees or you're selling it to a buyer. It's never going to be exactly the same, and that's a hard thing to let go of.
Is there a difference, probably a different challenge, mom and dad transition the business to their children.
Mm-hmm.
Their children grow up, and they want to retire. Now they're going to hand it down to the third generation.
Sure.
And then they grow up and they hand it down to the fourth generation.
That's right.
There must be a significant challenge along the way, each way.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a challenge every single time for the same reasons, really. It's just a repeat of the same type of cycle. You pour your whole life sometimes into this family business, and then you want somebody to take it over and have as much heart in it as you did, and sometimes that's difficult. But it's the same type of challenges that you confront every single time. I don't think it gets easier from generation to generation.
A lot of emotion goes into
this process.
So people need to be very frank and honest with each other, too.
Mm-hmm.
Ask the hard questions.
That's right.
Melissa, tell us a little bit about how do people contact Epiphany Law, your website and your phone number, in case they have a question you want to follow up with you?
Our telephone number is 920-996-0000.
Easy one to remember.
Yeah, it's a real phone number, I promise.
Yeah, it is.
And then our website is www.epiphanylaw.com. So absolutely, there's lots of information on the site, and if you call, there's lots of information. And we also do like a quarterly newsletter if you ever want to be added.
You can subscribe to that on
You can subscribe
email.
To that, and we can send that to you. We usually do mailing, so feel free to call with your address. And
I know Kevin's written a number of brochures and articles
and
on
books
and different principles of business and legal issues and things.
That's right. A number of our attorneys have. I think that there's one on construction law that Val just came out with, Valerie Revenue, and so there's quite a few that are really good resources.
Also, Epiphany Law is sponsoring an event called Entrepreneurs Anonymous on February 23rd at 5 p.m., and the topic is going to be valuing your business. What is the value of your business? So this goes right in line with what we're talking about this morning.
That's right.
And Jason Munster of Cornerstone Business Services will kick off the session and participate with some of the staff at Epiphany Law.
Mm-hmm.
If you're interested in attending this, there's a $10 fee. You can contact Epiphany Law at 996-0000 to inquire and register. But the event is being held February 23rd. So if you're interested in attending that, it's a good session, and the resources and the networking that you can accomplish by attending this will help you as well.
Mm-hmm.
But your firm does many of these types of conferences or little symposiums.
Yeah, the Entrepreneurs Anonymous is a monthly get-together that the firm holds, and the topic is different every month. Sometimes it's an attorney from our office speaking, sometimes it's a guest speaker. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes we bring someone else in to share their expertise, like in this case with Cornerstone.
Mm-hmm.
And there's lots of opportunity for Q&A, so people can come and not just feel like it's going to be a lecture, but it's going to have an opportunity for people to ask a lot of questions and share their own experiences.
Melissa, we talked a little bit about estate planning.
Mm-hmm.
And what is estate planning?
Yeah, that's one of those.
Can you do that in a simple?
Sure. Sure. Yeah, that's estate planning is one of those things. It sounds a lot more complex than it really is. But it's really just a matter of creating a set of documents that says how you want your assets to be distributed when you die. And so there's a lot maybe more to it than just the asset distribution. It's going to cover things like even some things that happened during your life, like healthcare powers of attorney, your durable financial powers of attorney. Those are all parts of a proper estate plan. Living will, it's also called an advance directive, is going to tell your physician how you want to be treated if certain circumstances arise. It's going to be things like that. And then in addition to the will or the trust or however you decide to do an estate plan, one important thing for business owners to note with estate planning is that a will is a probate document. And so that's one thing that I see a lot of people have misconceptions about. They think that if they have a will, then that will avoid the probate process. But a will is a document that speaks directly to a probate court.
For our listeners who don't understand probate, what is probate?
Sure. Probate is just it's a court process that opens up upon death.
A judge decides.
Right. Exactly. So a judge decides or a judge reads your will and then makes distributions according to your will plan.
Okay.
But ultimately, the probate process is just the process of taking assets that an individual holds at death and then transferring them to their beneficiaries or their heirs. And so that can either happen according to your will or that can happen according to Wisconsin's will for you, which is called the intestate laws.
Pretty complicated.
Yeah, so you can either make those decisions yourself or you can rely on the default rules, ultimately.
Now, there's also a governmental inheritance tax limit, isn't there? Estate tax limit?
Sure. Well, you bring up a funny point. There was up until, 35 days ago or something. As of January 1st, there is no estate law, or there's no estate tax right now, I should say. So,
for the federal or state?
Federal or state. We find ourselves in a really interesting position
right now. If someone were to die, there'd be no estate tax?
That's right. We find ourselves in a very unique circumstance at this moment in time that nobody really expected to be at. So estate planners are all abuzz trying to figure out what exactly to do about this. But to make a long story short, what happened was there was a bill that expired at the end of 2009. At the end of 2009, the estate tax was, quote unquote, repealed. And so it would, the way that it's written now is there'd be no estate tax during 2010. And then back when 2011 kicks in, then we'll have a $1 million estate tax limit. And so anything above $1 million will be taxable. But we'll see what happens. Everybody expected and predicted that before the end of 2009, they were going to patch that through so that $3.5 million exclusion that you were referring to would continue on through 2010. But they didn't get around to it. They're busy with healthcare and everything else that they're doing right now. So we find ourselves in a unique circumstance.
That is interesting. We'll talk a little more about that on the other side of the break, Melissa. We're taking a break right now. You're listening to Biz Talk on the Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY Radio.
If you do what you've always done, where will you be when the economy recovers? Act now to refine your management skills and learn how to lead your business through economic peaks and valleys with Proceed from the Venture Center at Fox Valley Technical College. We're the leading business innovation center in the New North, featuring customized instruction with self-paced online training modules, personalized coaching from proven business experts, and meet the CEO roundtables and speakers. Listen to what our successful graduates say.
Proceed is the best secret weapon a company can have in today's competitive world and has helped take my business to the next level and into the future.
Or if you've dreamed of running your own business, learn how with our eSeed Entrepreneur Training. Hundreds of eSeed graduates are in business today, and here's what they say.
eSeed allowed me to craft a game plan needed for a best practice approach to a successful business.
Find out more about Venture Center Business Training. Visit us online at venturecenterwi.biz or call 920-735-5709.
As the number one SBA lender in Wisconsin, Associated Bank has been helping small businesses grow for over 120 years. By getting to know you, your business, and the goals you hope to achieve, Associated is able to offer a wide range of financial solutions to help you run your business more efficiently and save you time and money. If you're interested in learning more about the financial solutions Associated offers to business owners, visit an Associated branch or associatedbank.com. Loan subject to credit approval, equal opportunity lender, member FDIC, and Associated Bank Corp.
401k or simple IRA.
I need a plan for me and my employees.
Not sure what retirement plan is best? Let Albertson Healing set up your unique program and help keep it running smoothly. We're big enough to handle all of your business investment needs, yet small enough to give you the attention you deserve. Call Albertson Healing CPAs today at 888-929-9492 for your tax, investment, and consulting needs. Securities offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. and Albertson Healing CPAs are non-affiliated entities.
Welcome back to Biz Talk. You're listening to Biz Talk on the Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY Radio. We're here this morning with Melissa Devantier of Epiphany Law. We're talking about succession planning, estate planning, if you're a business owner. And if you have a question on this topic or any topic with legal issues today, give us a call at 281-1150 if you're in Appleton, 281-1150. And outside of Appleton, 1-866-887-1150. Melissa, we were talking a little bit before the break about estate planning, and you mentioned that right now we're in this really unique period of time where there's no estate tax.
That's right.
So what happens if someone should die in this period of time?
Well, theoretically, what's supposed to happen is that there'd be no estate tax due. And really, last year the estate tax limits were $3.5 million. And so you didn't have a lot of people worrying about it because a lot of people didn't have assets that added up to more than $3.5 million.
And those assets include things like life insurance.
That's right. That's the part that people sometimes miss. I mean, if you're looking at the year 2011, what is written right now is that the limits will be $1 million. And so that's still, that sounds like a lot of money. And if you have, you know, modest means, you don't think that $1 million is going to affect you either. But if you start factoring in your life insurance, death benefit, the value of your home, if you've got any other real estate, cottage, whatever else, IRAs and other types of assets like that, a lot of people will really need to be doing some estate tax planning next year if it stays at $1 million. So as it's written now, anything over $1 million would be taxed at up to 55%.
Over $1 million is 55%.
Yeah, up to 50. That's the highest estate tax bracket
next year. So if it was a $2 million estate, on the second million, they would lose $550,000?
That's exactly right.
So out of a $2 million estate, $1,450,000 would go to the heirs.
Right.
Without estate planning.
Right.
With estate planning, can that be increased from $1,450,000?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. That's part of what we do is just figure out how can we move, if estate tax planning is an issue, how do we move some of these assets out of the estate to make sure that you don't end up, that $550,000 you referred to doesn't just go to taxes. You might as well give it to charity or make sure that it gets to your kids in one way, shape, or form. And so it's really a matter of looking at what have you got and what do you can you live without during your lifetime? What do you not need access to right now? Is there anything like that? Maybe it's the life insurance policy. If it's the life insurance policy that's putting you over that $1 million amount, do you need the cash value during your life, or can we get that out of your estate? And there's different things that you can do for estate tax planning. So right now we're in that funny period of time where we don't really know how to advise people just now because you don't want to spend a lot of money on estate tax planning not knowing what the estate tax limits are going to be next year. So, you know, stay tuned would be the best advice.
And you mentioned these assets, Melissa. A business owner doesn't always know the value of their business.
Right.
And upon death, that business might be worth more than what anyone might have believed it was worth.
That's right.
And that can certainly put you over the top as well.
That's right. Right, so it's important to look at this at least on an annual basis and just kind of do a review of what have you got and have things changed so much that now you need to do some additional planning? Have the laws changed that now you're in a position to pay estate tax where you weren't just a year or two ago? That's where, as written right now, that's where a lot of people will find themselves in 2011. So it's just a matter of waiting to see what Congress passes this year.
It certainly goes to your point earlier in the program about plan early and keep measuring that plan and
That's monitoring, right.
When you get to be, if a husband and wife own a business and one of them dies and the estate thing kicks in or they both die, it's too late to do anything.
Right.
It's too late now.
Right. It's too late to have any say over how that all goes. And so put something in place, review it on a regular basis, whether it's annual or otherwise, and just know that your plan's going to be different depending on your needs and your circumstances. And for succession planning, for instance, it'll be a different quote-unquote succession plan depending on whether you're trying to get it to your employees or your kids or who you're trying to get it to. And so mm-hmm. it's all going to be a unique set of circumstances.
Good. We have Diane on the line. Good morning, Diane. You have a question for Melissa?
Well, this is regarding life insurance, and it's not with a business, but is there a way to cash that in without having to pay taxes or lessening the taxes? Because the policy I have, if I cash it in, I have to pay taxes on variable life, and what I put in gets invested in the mutual funds.
Okay. And so, it's going to depend on whether you have gains. It sounds like you must have gains in the policy
right. That
you've got, that you might be hit with taxes. And so there's no way to just pull it out and have the cash in your pocket and avoid the paying gains on it or paying taxes on the gains. But there might be opportunities to roll the policy over into something else. You'd probably want to meet with the person that sold you the policy or a financial advisor and see if it's possible to roll it into another type of fund, if you're trying to get it out of the life insurance policy.
Okay, would that have to possibly be like an IRA then?
It could be. I don't know what all the rollover opportunities are for a life insurance policy, but there might be some if you really don't want it in that type of asset anymore, if you'd rather have it in something else. There might be rollover opportunities that would avoid the taxable gains on it.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thanks for the call, Diane. Good question. We have another caller on the line this morning, Melissa. Good morning, Mark. Welcome.
Hi, Tony. Good morning, Melissa.
Good morning.
My question has to do with trustees, and do all wills have a trustee?
For a will, it's called a personal representative. It will be the person that's carrying out and administering your estate.
And that's not you. It's not. Who do people usually pick to be their trustee? What do you advise?
Well, go ahead.
No, who do you recommend fill that role?
It probably depends on what the estate looks like and what type of assets are there and what they really want to have happen. If they've got, for instance, I've had clients that really they have their house and, you know, a car and a couple of things like that, it probably is sufficient to have a family member or somebody like that just go ahead and sell the house and distribute assets. It kind of depends on how complicated the assets are. If what they're trying to do, for instance, is set up trusts for their kids through their will, you can actually do that where you draft a will, and then if your kids are still minors, you can set up, well, even if they're not still minors, but you can set up a trust and have your personal representative or what's called a testamentary trustee, which is just a fancy word for the person who handles the money, hold that money in a trust share for your kids. And if it's going to get kind of complicated like that, you'll probably want somebody that's got some financial know-how, because they're going to be responsible for making sure that they handle the money in those trusts responsibly. They've got a fiduciary duty to make sure that they invest that money wisely. And so you don't just want anybody to have that role. You want somebody with some financial know-how.
Gotcha. And to tie it into the business plan, then, if you are a business owner that needs to account for business assets, again, you want that personal representative to be someone really not affiliated with the business either, correct?
That's probably preferable, absolutely. You want somebody objective that's not going to be, obviously you wouldn't pick anybody that you didn't trust, but you don't even want to put somebody in the position of being accused of self-dealing.
Mm-hmm.
And so usually I'd say pick somebody that's objective. Yep.
And lastly, if the, I'm recalling that at the time we did a will and testament, the bank was actually named as, and I think it was called the trustee, it wasn't a personal representative at the time. Are you saying I can go to Epiphany and talk to you or Kevin or one of the other attorneys and see about getting that changed?
Oh, absolutely. You can always change your will. That's one of the nice things about these types of estate plans is that they're amendable or revocable or anything else. It sounds like your will must have created a trust somewhere in the document to hold money for a while and not just be distributed immediately upon death. And so that's where a lot of times a corporate trustee, like a bank or another type of entity, will come in if there's not an appropriate individual to handle that role.
And the estate tax kind of lapse that you're referring to, is that on the state level or federal level?
That's on, well, the lapse is on the federal level, but the state level is tied into the federal level. There hasn't been a Wisconsin estate tax for a while. And so there, our estate tax in Wisconsin is nothing. There is none. And then the federal estate tax last year was above $3.5 million, and now there is no federal estate tax either.
Great. Well, thanks so much.
Sure.
Thank you, Mark. Good questions. Well, it certainly brings home the point that planning is required,
right,
and anyone thinking about this should sit down around the kitchen table with their spouses or their partners or whatever, family
yep.
members, and start discussing this. But I would highly recommend that they contact Epiphany Law and talk to you, Melissa. What's your phone number again, and what's the website again?
Sure, it's 920-996-0000, and it's www.epiphanylaw.com.
Yeah, there's no time to start planning like the present.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be taking a little break right here, and we'll come back for our final segment after the break. You're listening to Biz Talk on the Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY Radio.
If you're looking for a business banking partner, consider Associated Bank. They've been helping businesses meet their financial goals for over 120 years. Associated understands the need to streamline your operation to help your business run smoothly and efficiently. That's why they offer fast, easy, flexible tools to help you manage your cash flow and quickly and securely access your account information. If you're looking to enhance productivity and profitability of your business, visit an Associated Bank branch or AssociatedBank.com. Equal opportunity lender, member FDIC and Associated Bank Corp.
Payroll, taxes, bookkeeping.
I just can't handle it all.
Have the financial demands of your business become too taxing? Let Albertson Healing give you the personal service you desire. We're big enough to handle all of your business tax and accounting needs, yet small enough to give you the attention you deserve. Call Albertson Healing CPAs today at 888-929-9492 for your tax, investment, and consulting needs. Securities offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. and Albertson Healing CPAs are non-affiliated entities.
Hi, I'm Joellen Wallen, your Better Business Bureau Northeast Wisconsin Regional Manager. BBB accredited businesses share our vision of an ethical marketplace. For them, trust is a contract, and honesty, integrity, and ethics are standard operating procedure. Consumers are anxious to work with BBB accredited businesses and trust them to do the job better. Whether you're looking for a heating contractor, home remodeler, accountant, or veterinarian, consumers prefer to start with trust. And there's no better place than wisconsin.bbb.org. Our company reliability reports on Wisconsin businesses now feature grades of A+ through F. This new system helps consumers make better informed purchase decisions. Business owners are consumers, too. Who would you trust to do a better job? A BBB accredited business with an A+ grade or a non-accredited business that doesn't make the grade? To find out more, go to wisconsin.bbb.org or call 920-734-4352 to apply for BBB accreditation.
Epiphany Law provides business law expertise to startup and growing businesses.
I'm about to sign a lease agreement on a new storefront, and I have this nagging feeling that I should have someone looking it over first.
I'm looking at handing my business over to my son in a few years, and I have no idea how to do that.
Epiphany Law knows the critical questions to ask, and they provide the legal resources required by today's business owners.
I'm thinking of investing in a new franchise, and there are parts of this contract that are way beyond me.
There are employment laws that I just don't understand.
Epiphany Law provides solutions to businesses of varying shapes and sizes, and has the expertise to be your all-around business legal advisor.
I'm buying a business.
I'm selling a business.
See the business law experts at Epiphany Law by calling 920-996-0000 or look them up online at www.epiphanylaw.com. And Epiphany is a flash of light that points to a better way. At Epiphany Law, they provide that better way.
Welcome back to our final segment this morning on BizTalk. We're sitting here talking with Melissa Devantier, learning a lot this morning about succession planning, estate planning, and Melissa's an attorney with Epiphany Law here in Appleton. You can contact Melissa at 996-0000. And what is your website, Melissa?
Sure, www.epiphanylaw.com.
Yep. And Epiphany Law focuses just on business law, so they're very, very good at that. They've picked a niche, and they're a fast-growing law firm as well. Melissa, we were talking about estate planning, and we did some had some discussions on succession planning. We only have a few minutes left. You want to just wrap up the show? I think we covered some really good territory this morning.
Sure. I might leave with just a couple of kind of estate planning tips, if
sure.
I may. So one of them would be just the idea of beneficiary designations. And so when you're doing your estate plan, it's really, really important to make sure that you go back and look at the beneficiary designations you have on your assets. So whether that's a government or a employer-sponsored retirement plan, a 401k or IRA or whatever it might be, chances are once upon a time you named a beneficiary on those policies, and that will trump your estate plan at the end of the day. And so that institution is going to pay out to whoever's listed on the beneficiary designation. They're not going to wait and look at your will or
that
your trust.
That could be a divorce situation. It could be a girlfriend, boyfriend thing
or
something.
That's when it gets pretty hairy, right, is when there's an ex-spouse listed on your beneficiary designation form. It's going to go to the ex-spouse.
And really what's written is rule, isn't it?
That's right. On that beneficiary designation form, that's what's going to control, regardless of what kind of plan you've got. Another point I would just make, and especially for business owners, I find that a lot of my business clients have sort of they're not really a big fan of the idea of their business assets, especially going through the probate process, because the probate process is a matter of public record. That's technically something that anybody, including a creditor, a competitor, anybody can go to the court and pull up the records and find out who received your business assets upon your death. And so if you want to make sure that your assets stay out of probate, then a trust-based plan is the only way to go. And so that's just a distinction I'd like to make. Obviously, you know, we can talk a lot about what the differences are.
Specifics are going to be...
We can always talk more about that. If people have questions, they're free to call. But just to kind of know that the will is going to be a matter of public record and just to watch out for that.
And I think the big news we heard this morning was the fact that the federal government right now, there is no estate tax.
That's right. We're all scrambling to figure out what that means and how to plan around it.
Exactly. No one wants to plan a death, but...
Right, exactly. And that's the other point, really. At the end of the day, just a general point, is that this is not going to be anybody's favorite topic. You know, let's go to the lawyer's office and talk about death and taxes today. I mean, it's just, it's an easy thing to procrastinate on. And so I would just warn against procrastinating too long, especially if you've got kids. You know, you should be the one that names the guardian for your kids, not the government. And so just things like that, make sure that you are in control of how things are going
to
go for you.
And I used to teach that and preach that all the time. And as a lender, young people would come and start a business or whatever they were doing at the bank. And they had children, but they had no will.
Right.
They had no money. And they were basing their decision on having a will based on how much their assets were worth.
Right.
It's really important to direct in the will where the children will go.
Exactly.
Stay together.
There is no estate that's too small for an estate plan of some kind, even if it's a basic will and the other documents that I talked about, that power of attorney for health care and for financial matters. So just, it's always going to be important regardless of what your income stream looks like.
And I think another important ingredient here for business owners is to keep a tab on what the value of your business is.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's important in estate planning.
Right.
The last thing you want to do is find out that mom and dad had this business. They thought it was worth $1 million. It's worth $6 million.
Right.
And you could have done some planning to avoid paying the estate tax to the government.
Exactly. Because what people find themselves is in the position of having to liquefy the asset just to pay the tax. And that happens with land a lot of times, too. If the business owns a lot of land, and that's where a lot of the value of the estate's coming from, I mean, you really, if you want to keep the land or the business in the family, you don't want your heirs to have to sell it off just to pay the taxes on it. So you got to plan to make sure that that doesn't happen.
Exactly. Well, once again, Melissa, thanks a lot for the program. Great information this morning.
Sure, thanks for having me.
And Epiphany Law, again, is located in Appleton.
Mm-hmm.
And the website and the phone number?
Sure, www.epiphanylaw.com, and the telephone number is 920-996-0000.
And I guess one other quick question, if we have a minute left yet. In doing this estate planning, what is a good timeline to sit down and work this stuff through? I mean, it's going to be different for everybody, but business people need to allocate time to allow these things to... You go discover what is that asset worth, and what is that asset worth, and what do the kids want to do, and it takes time.
Yeah, and I mean, as far as getting the process started, the sooner the better to make sure you've got something in place. I mean, my job is sort of one of a devil's advocate, so you have to plan just in case something happens tomorrow. It's better to have something in place than nothing.
Right.
So start thinking about it now and plan for it with a will-based plan. It can be done in a month or so. A trust maybe takes a couple extra weeks because you've got to actually move assets into the trust, but neither of them are going to be a very long, lengthy process.
Good. Again, thank you, Melissa. Next week, we have Christina Mubarak on as a guest. She is the owner of Bolano, and we're going to learn about language next week. So that should be a great program. Thanks a lot, everybody. You've been listening to BizTalk on the Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY Radio.